Hi everyone, it's Michelle and this is June the 6th, 2019. This is our first call in the Loving Kindness series and we are now back at our 12:30 Mountain Time. This is our time ongoing. Doesn't mean we won't sometimes have calls at different times, but this is now a standard time on Thursday, so it's great if you carve out this time on your calendar, and even if we don't have a call on a given week, this is a great time to be meeting with other members of the community. If we don't have a call, be on a connection call, meet with your buddy, meet with your small group, and take forward whatever project you're working on. I know Jasmine's hard at work, for instance, on the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. Hi, Jasmine. Thanks for letting me know you couldn't make it today, but you should be. You've already scheduled time to listen in the recording, so welcome. Welcome to all those who are here live, listening to the recording. Let's begin in Shavasana. Please find a place where you can lie down. If you're multitasking, please let aside the texting or the emailing or whatever it is, that you really give yourself this time to do the mind training of allowing the mind to become one-pointed. Here, focused on the breath in Shavasana. So many benefits to Shavasana. The ripple effect is tremendous. So find a place to lie down. If you're driving, pull over. Make space around you. Support the head and neck with a blanket or a pillow. A folded blanket would be better. Make sure the chin is at least level with or lower than the forehead, so the mind can become quiet. Settle into Shavasana, making space through the low back, having the limbs be equidistant from the center line of the body. Roll the shoulders back and down and dig the shoulder blades into the back so that the chest is firmly open. Let there be space for the breath. Then notice how the palms should be facing up. And notice if there's one thumb that is rolling to the floor more than the other thumb. Check with the body. That means that shoulder is probably more open. So allow that the thumb that is further from the floor roll right from the shoulder so that both thumbs are landing on backs of the hands, the thumbs landing on the floor equally. Notice the same for the feet. So the feet should be a comfortable distance apart. And is one heel landing on the side of the floor more than the other heel? So Shavasana also teaches us to pay attention to the details of our lives and gain control over those things that we can easily do. We can easily align our bodies. And as we do so, we align our minds, we align our companies, we align our world. So check and see which heel is on the floor, more on the side of the heel. That hip is probably more open. So turn to the other foot and hip. Roll right from the hip, right where the leg meets the torso. Roll right from that place so that the heels are landing on the floor the same way. Make sure that the head is straight. Are you leaning a little to one side than the other? And we start to find our habitual tendencies. My habitual tendency has been to have the head to the right. I'm marking all those papers and all the writing, and I turn and left-handed. So can you notice your little tendencies in the body? Can you have your, we say that person's head is screwed on straight. Well, we actually literally do that in Shavasana. Head, arms, legs aligned. Finding alignment here in the body to align inside ourselves, to find that center point. Then softly close the eyes if you haven't yet, and just let the body release. Let everything go. Can you notice where you're still holding? If there's any tension anywhere in the body? Sometimes neck and shoulders, maybe the legs, the calves, low back. If it's the low back, bend the knees and extend the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels again, then extend the legs out again. So pay attention and don't suffer in silence. We do this sometimes in our companies far long and in our lives far longer than we need to. And we learn a different habit with Shavasana. I'll take care, deep care of myself here and now, making sure there's breath, that there's space. Breathe into any spots of tension, release them, or get support as needed so the body can be quiet, at ease. Relax the face, the jaw, the throat. Let the teeth be slightly parted. And relax the tongue all the way to its root in the throat. Relax the temples. Soften the skin of the scalp. Relax the forehead. And again, with the next exhalation, let the whole body release to the earth. And watch the breath. Feel the breath. Feel the ease of breath. Pay attention, notice the quality of breath today. And then just take this time for yourself as you watch the breath and simply be. We just completed the letting go series. Can you let go of whatever was holding your attention before? Let go of the thoughts as they arise, not important right now. And find this space of loving kindness for yourself, a deep, deep self-care. Maybe you've been tending to others through your day already, deeply. Can you take that same care and turn it inward now toward yourself? Feeling that space in the heart center, where love grows of its own accord when we take the time to take care of ourselves, watching the breath. Notice any grasping that may be happening, or you're trying to make something of this breath, or you're trying to make something happen. Even at subtle levels, this can happen in the quietness of Shavasana, wanting to push to make it happen. Let that go. Just be here, nothing to do, nowhere to go. Just watching the breath. Silence nourishes us, returns us to ourselves. Are you taking this time for yourself? And allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso, feel the breath. Slowly bend the knees and roll to the right side. Support your head. Keeping the gaze toward the floor, slowly press yourself up to sitting. And the eyes, as you open them, they remain soft, unfocused, not pulling the light in, just allowing the light to enter into the eyes. Ease, no hardness, as you return to our virtual circle. And as always, video on whenever you can, fully present, because that's how we want to be in every other part of our lives. And it's a practice. We practice it here. Returning to our circle. Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, or middle of the night, depending on where you are. Hi, Cindy. First with camera on. I just want to add one more thing that I almost forgot to put on our agenda today. And here we go. So, what did you love here? What happened for you today? It might be something new. It might be something that you're just re-experiencing again today. That's always going to be new. You never re-experience it. It's always new. Something you've noticed before. What did you love? What did you love? Who'd like to share? Yeah, Sherry. Oh, and don't forget you're muted. I muted you. We were chatting at the beginning. Sherry was the first one here. It's like, wow, it's just two of us so far. That's amazing. That hasn't happened in ages.
I think what I heard was the comment that you said as you were adjusting us to notice, you know, what was uncomfortable or what we were tolerating. And then, as you said, consider that's also where in your business are you doing that? And it's like, oh, uh-huh. Or am I just putting up with something?
Thank you so much for that. This is one of the reasons that we, another of the many, 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 too numerous to count, reasons that we do Shavasana. When I can pay attention over here, I will catch that thing so much earlier on. And like one of our members who graduated some time ago, but you know, when we met, she was like underneath her desk crying, literally afraid that she was going to go bankrupt. And with that attentiveness of Shavasana, had we met earlier, and that could have been caught earlier on, the signs are there in a company of, oh, I don't want to go down this path. I want to go down that path. So like, how about stop all that grief and save six months off the journey, or sometimes a year, and save the angst and the pain, because every day I'm in Shavasana and seeing where I want to course correct, what isn't feeling right, and starting to trust that inner knowing at deeper levels. I can say those words easily, but how do I actually do it? And Shavasana is the most direct route there that I know of. Sherry, beautiful. Thank you. Love it. What else? What did you love in this practice of this Shavasana today? And thanks, Cheryl. Got your note. Yeah, Grace.
So what I loved was your reminder back to, are you taking care of yourself? Because I had a huge win this morning. I just finished a conversation with someone that's reconnecting me to a company that I worked with for many years, and they had a lot of organizational change. And so my mind is just, it's like I now have four or five connections that I can make. It's like I could just see myself back there with all that I've done now. They're ready for me. And so your reminder of, is this bringing you, are you taking care of yourself, immediately brought me back, no, this is my time, just breathe, take care of myself. But there's this excitement too about wanting to move forward with these calls and connections.
Now, how wonderful is that place to be, right? That's so, I am taking care of myself, and I'm excited about what's to come. I'm taking care of myself and I'm excited about what's to come. That is a completely different foundation for a business than the vast majority of businesses, I'd say, out there. It's not a daily habit for many, many, many businesses. And that produces completely other results than the other way, right? Love it. Thank you, Grace. And thank you for sharing that win. And I love the, can you hear the ease of it, all of you, in the way she said, it's just like, this is just what's happening. That's how it sounded to me. Is that how it felt, Grace? Yeah. When we're doing it with all of the tools that we learn all year long, that's how things arise. Is it every time going to be like that? No, but can we let that go? Yes, because we've learned that in the Letting Go series. But more and more of life and more of the company gets to be experienced and grown in that way. So it grows and there's an ease about it. I love that. And it starts right here, right now with the breath. Thank you, Grace. Love it. Let's hear one more. I think there's one more out there that's just wanting to be expressed or that ought to be shared because there's a gift for someone here, something in your experience that's going to benefit another. It's a great place to practice that too, because sometimes we don't know what it was. Yeah, Cindy, thank you.
It just felt good. It just felt really good.
You know what I love about that, Cindy, is that it's like returning to that child nature inside of us that, you know, we some adult told us not to be that earlier or later, whatever, but we all had it at some point, even if it's so far back we don't remember it. That's how kids naturally are until the adults get in the way and tell them, you know, don't have so much, don't be so loud or whatever it is, right? It just felt good. That's how kids want to be. And then can we just get rid of all that guck that's in front of that, that's been layered on by all these other stories that belong to somebody else, and just come to that place. It just felt good. And it's astonishing to me how many times it might have been one of you. As people enter in, often in strategy sessions, some people enter the work that that we do in other ways as well, but often in strategy sessions, and words as simple as that will be their why. It just felt good, just felt like the right thing to do. You know, we create all these complex structures, but it comes down to something that simple, and we learn it again right here in our bones, in our cells, on the mat. It just felt good. Thank you. Beautiful. there was a story it reminded me of. I was like, will that be helpful to you here? No, you already heard it. I love it. You don't need the story. Now you're going to be curious about what the story is. So I'll tell you really quickly. When my daughter was about six, and she was over at her, not my mom, but her grandmother on the other side, we were gathered for Christmas. And I remember it was not her grandmother's best moment. She was not a very happy woman. And the kids were six and they were laughing and playing. And I remember Dana's grandmother saying, "Be quiet." So we've all had, you know, at some point, some misguided adult. I remember her turning to her and saying, "You know, it's Christmas. It's like a six-year-old Christmas day, and they're excited about the presents." And so, somewhere, somehow, I think it is a helpful story to tell here, because adults have crazy ideas, right? There's that natural joy and goodness, Christmas morning, and something new, and that's how we want our new clients, those people who are leaping in, that's how we want them to feel. Wow, it's Christmas Day. I was just speaking to somebody earlier this morning who just leapt into some work with me, and she at the end of the call, she just said, "I feel happy." It was a very simple word like that. It just felt good. I feel happy. She's so excited to get underway with the work and coming back to something simpler. Shavasana gives us access and takes all that layers of stuff away so we can remember who we actually are. Thank you, Cindy. That was beautiful. Love it. Love it, Sherry. Grace, Cindy, beautiful. All right. Anything burning to be said without which we cannot go forward? All right. So just a couple of announcements to begin. Affiliates, I just realized that, and I'm probably speaking to the choir, I think maybe, I'm not sure, but most, if not all of you are already affiliates for practical applications and the series that follows. So thank you if you've done so. If you haven't, there's one last chance, I just realized, but it would have to happen very quickly because I'm doing an encore call. So we're rerunning it, and just so you can watch and model everything we're doing here. Some of the things are the things that we've invented, some of the things I've learned from my own teachers. So we gave the call yesterday, the three keys to finding words that allow you to be more influential. That's not the exact title. Anyway, the call yesterday, I'm rerunning it again tomorrow live. Often that would just be a recording, but why am I doing that? It's the first time yesterday that I taught the call in that form. And so I want a chance to do it again live. And it's also really fun, whoever's going to be there tomorrow. So it's one last chance for people to join. So if you wanted to become an affiliate and you haven't had a chance to do that yet, please get in touch with Amy at michellegunderson.com. And if there's even one person that you know who missed the call but would like to be on it, we're doing it again tomorrow. And it's live. And this time I'm hoping there'll be a chance to do a hot seat live. I was 15 minutes over. I just couldn't do it yesterday, but I'd do my best to do that tomorrow. And just one more thing that I wanted to mention about that. Even if you have one person that you know, just get in touch with Amy, amy@michellegunderson.com, and we'll see if we can make that happen for you. And also, because of my amazing assistant, Amy, we have a change on the calendar. And because it only made sense because of the way that all of the emails that are going out to our list. And so I'm sorry about this kind of last minute change, but what it's making me do is, it's encouraging me to do, what I decided to do is just give you an extra bonus in. So we had our 2-hour workshop on the 18th, but I'm just gonna have that as a Q&A call for you guys, and it's only in-house on the 18th. So hopefully you already have that on your calendar, and bring your questions. There's just an open space for questions, hot seats. If I'm answering your questions too briefly, you want a deeper dive, man, post a question for that. It's just us and whatever you bring to the table for June the 18th. So I kept that on the calendar for you as just extra, because I moved the date of our 2-hour workshop, our Stories That Sell 2-hour workshop, to June the 24th at 2 p.m. So same time, but 6 days later. I hope that you can make it to both of them. Both are going to be extraordinarily useful to you. And if you can't make it, my apologies to you. That's just some bonus time for you. Again, it's nowhere in your program, but I've just added it. And I saw Grace shaking her head. I'm so sorry. I'll make sure to send out the recording for you, but hopefully you can still make it to the Q&A and bring all your questions, and we'll make sure we do a deep dive. And Grace mentioned that in your question, me and I can't make it. Please answer my question. Do a deep dive, Michelle. So I'll do what I can to serve and support you. And the one on the 24th, that's the one that you can bring friends to. If you already had a friend who wanted to come on the 18th and you were ahead of the game on that, get in touch with me, because again, I always want to make sure that those who are, that the early bird always wins. So I wanted to make sure that anybody who really made sure to get that on their calendar was not penalized, but actually got more. So that's what we're doing. So make sure to mark that date on your calendar again. It's still the same time on the 18th, but with a change of content and addition on the 24th at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. Let me see. The three keys call. So it was called Three Secrets to Changing to Choosing Words That Make You More Influential, the call yesterday. And I would love to hear from how many of you were on the call yesterday. I know some of you were like writing it right in the chat. So a number of you were there. Fantastic. Most of you were there. So I would love to hear one or two ahas, because that call, it was messy. It was the first time that I've done it in that form. And don't be afraid. I'll be doing a bit of training around things that I've learned as we've been doing that series, and had, you know, huge success already with it. So, but the one thing I want to say is, don't be afraid for things to be messy. It's fine. The notes that people were sending me and the feedback that I've received is really awesome. And it was the very first time it was messy. And I loved it. And lots of fabulous feedback and openings for people. And I want to hear, what opened for you? What was the nugget for you? What was your aha? Which piece landed for you? So for those who weren't there, or for those who heard a different part, that class was chock full of huge training and given away for free. Give your best stuff. Give your very best stuff for free. Don't be afraid to do that. Right? So what did you learn? What did you love? What stays with you from yesterday? Let's hear from a couple of you. Sherry, thank you.
So I learned that basically it's, you know, okay to be messy. I could tell that you were not your usual comfortable self. And that you just pushed through, that you kept doing it. You had enough preparation, enough information that you could, despite how you were feeling, continue and still deliver great content.
Thank you for that. I love that. I told you you're going to watch me make all kinds of mistakes. I want you to see those things. The biggest thing that stops entrepreneurs is like, I'm going to wait till I've got all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted, and then I talk to them 3 years later and nothing has moved. Nothing has changed. And today's call is going to hit directly at that. So that comment is exactly perfect. And I'm happy to tell you, if you go back and listen to it, you'll hear when I go off. There's a couple of things that had me off in a couple of points. And I didn't care. It doesn't matter to me. I know that this material, you have such confidence in your material. I know this material is life-changing. I'm giving it away for free. I don't care. So because when I saw in the chat, it's like, hey, you haven't delivered any content yet, and we're 15 minutes in. That's what's like, oh, man, if that person's feeling it, some others are going to be feeling it, but I'm not going to change course. I'm going to keep laying the foundation, because otherwise it's, what's going to be heard is just like, here's these couple little clues about things you can change, but it won't change people at the foundation. So there's a part of me coming at that moment going like, oh, my goodness, I hope that person stays. Because there's so much gold and I don't know how else to get this across. So you could hear that. And then also there's other pieces of it, because we've been doing a lot. And so again, model all of this, right? We've been doing a lot in this company, and Amy and Emily just do a boatload of stuff. And I was realizing there were so many people involved in getting that call together, getting this launch together. It's countless people. Many of you giving testimonials, thank you. We haven't processed them and finished them enough to be able to post them yet, but we'll be in process to do that. And Grace, I'm just gonna mention, thank you for your email about that testimonial. I mean, it was so good, I loved that. So many people working together to make this happen. So it doesn't have to be perfect. Another piece that was happening, I was talking about Amy's work, and that the sales page for practical applications is completely new. We just put that together, and it's going to up-level the course itself in such a beautiful way, because when you put it out there, you've got to get the next level. So you'll see in the modules, if for those who experienced it the last time around, the next iteration of the course itself as we're putting it together to present to the world. And I first saw that sales page about 5 minutes before the call. I'm gesturing so strongly that I'm like, I blew my headphones out. I saw that 5 minutes before the call. So I'm getting toward the end of the call, and it's just like, I want to open the curtains for you, and just like, you don't need to be afraid, and it all can work out just perfectly, right? And So I, as I'm going through it, I mean, I wrote the components, but I didn't see how they were put together. And so like just one of my teachers called build a plane as you fly it. So I'm very confident with the results people can get. I work with words, and the words are messy, and it so doesn't matter. So model that piece of it. If there's one thing that I want to get across this whole year, that's like highlight. I can't think of anything else more important than that, because if we don't take action, nothing changes. We don't have a company. Sherry, thank you for that. That's beautiful. I'm happy to show you all the pieces. I'm happy to be, I'll say naked in front of you. It doesn't matter to me. And one more piece I want to say too is that morning we were sorting out some of the pieces of how we were going to do it. We were changing things right up until the end. I wasn't planning to offer those spots to talk to me, for instance. And we did that for particular reasons. Just ask me next time if you want to know why we did that and the decisions we made. But one of the things that I've been hearing in the industry, people say, you can't sell something $2,000 and up on a call like that. It's impossible. It just can't happen. And I usually go to strategy sessions. I've told you guys that. I have not done that in years to actually make a sale on a call, because strategy sessions are so much more efficient. And I had not sold at that $2,000 level before. I just don't bother, because it's much more efficient to do it the other way. I have one strategy session and a deep dive client instead of, you know, all work for a $5 sale or $10 or $97 sale. I just haven't found it worthwhile. So, and so what's impossible, and this is the very first time I've done that, this company is growing as well. And you, if you were there yesterday, you heard Dottie and how excited she was on the call. She's chasing after us. I can't get my money in. And please, will you let me? It's just, you know, really exciting. And in what the industry says is impossible, that that never happens. This is the very first time I've done it. So don't be afraid to go to your cutting edge. Don't be afraid to do new things. The same thing that got you to this place is what'll get you to the next level. So Sherry, thank you for that. Thank you for noticing that. Happy to share with you everything that's going on, right? So you can model it with the mistakes and, like, you know, model the mistakes too. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. But and then take up whatever is working, what you find works for you. What else? What did you learn as you were listening to yesterday's call? What were you paying attention to? What openings have you had since then? Or what did you notice? What do you recall? There's a lot of content. There was too much content on that call. That probably, when I'm teaching a version of that 5 years from now, I'll be teaching a lot less. But that's because it's still the first time around. Yeah, Carly.
Well, I liked how you made your offer at the end. I was learning from that. It wasn't pushy or anything like that. And you kind of just said, this may or may not be for you, but the value of this is. And I thought that was really nice.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing that. There's a lot of pieces. I would be listening to that call more than once, right? And we're doing it again tomorrow. You can be on the second version. You can watch the different iterations. We'll send out one of the recordings, probably yesterday's. It was fresh and hot off the press, but we might end up sending tomorrow's. I don't know. And you can watch the call grow if you choose. So that comes from, I know Jasmine, I was just reading in Facebook, so exciting. Jasmine has been doing the High Ticket Virtual Retreat and posting all these ahas and wins and openings for us. Really exciting to see. Jasmine, it's really exciting to see High Ticket Virtual Retreat through your eyes. Really flipping beautiful. It's like, have anybody else been blown away by this? And oh my goodness, I've only got to part two. And then I'm on part three. And Maria, I haven't got to that piece yet. And it's part two of High Ticket Virtual Retreat. It's related to that training. You got to crown yourself. It's been through some threads in the Facebook forum and about this. You got to so deeply know what's lying around on the floor. You got to so deeply know your value. To me, I know that what we do at Practical Games. Thank you, Cindy. I so love seeing that in the Facebook forum. And now here it is, a live version. I'm so excited. I just was reading it this morning. So you have to crown yourself and you have to so know the value. I know the full price is at $3,500. I gave a crazy deal for that course this time around. Will we ever do that again? I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen from here, but I so know the value of that course. It just, if you guys want to come in, great. If you don't, doesn't matter to me, right? And we're just really doing this, the whole thing, to run it in this way the first time around. I don't really care what happens. And so all these, that's from the Letting Go series and non-attachments. So watching all the pieces of what we do as this launch is happening. And we had more people than we've ever had. Register for a call before. It was really super exciting. So watching the growth of it, and it's just, we were just doing a trial run, basically. Yeah. Thanks, Carly. Love it. One more. Let's hear one more. What did you learn? That was from one phrase from that call yesterday. There's so much in that call. I'd listen to it more than once if I were you. Listen to my mistakes too. What else? Grace.
I think part of it is maybe it's with what you just said too, letting go. You don't have any attachment. If you're ready, you're ready. If you're not, you're not. And the client that signed the contract this morning with me, we had an hour discovery session in my office last week. And it's like, it goes back to what you said, is starting close, you know, build that relationship, build that rapport. Don't be attached to the outcome. And just give value in there, in that opportunity. And before we left, he had agreed to, he said, yes, I want to work with you. And I'd sent the agreement to him. And it's an attorney, by the way. I'm always sheepish when I have to send an agreement to an attorney. But he signed. I got that this morning. And for me, that was like, okay, now it's firm. But I go back to the letting go, not being attached to the outcome. Starting, you know, start close in, begin with that relationship, simply be of service, and see what happens. The right people will come.
You can hear all of the energy of what's happening inside Grace. And sometimes people say those things that Grace is saying just as words, but they're not really real. Nothing moves. It's like, but I'm doing all the right stuff and it gets more, you know, but can you hear the real places coming from in Grace? And then this is corresponding with the real things that are happening in your company. This is not an accident. Really beautiful. And when you're, and this from, you know, the segue from the Letting Go series, when we're attached, it just doesn't work. I remember somebody pretty well begging me on one call to get a chance to come to this retreat, but I was listening to everything they were saying. I'm like, this is not a fit. No. And then she started getting angry with me, right? But oh my God, to contribute all this. No, let me send you somewhere else that's going to help you further. It's not a match. So not attached, really radically not attached, because if somebody leaps in and they're the wrong person, it's so much of a headache anyway. The right people will step up, and having that deep, deep trust, all that you can hear and see what's happening, and then the results for you as well in your work, Grace, is so beautiful. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Anything else burning to be said? Any other hows you want to share? Okay, well, I would love to hear, and we've already been hearing some of them, love to hear one or two more wins from your week this week. It feels like I haven't seen you guys in a million years. So what's been rolling for you? What do you love? It's the same question that I'm asking about Shavasana. What do you love about your life right now? What's happening? What's rolling for you that's beautiful? If we've been practicing at Shavasana, more likely that you'll be able to see it here too. What are your wins? What's been opening? And if you don't know, go ahead and raise your hand too, and then it'll happen. You'll figure it out as you're starting to speak. It's a deep, deep level trust to ask you to do that, and I do it all the time. Was that you, Mary Kay? Yes, Mary Kay, hi. Oh, and you're muted. Don't forget to unmute.
I just got back from picking up my miniature horse, who has been very ill, and she's better, and we think it's because of a question I asked that I think we found what the source of the problem is. So that's where I'm in.
I'm going to be able to take care of my horse. And we found the problem. And the solution comes from knowing where even the problem is. I love it. And then when I notice that in my life over here with my horse, I can find it in other places as well. It's beautiful here, beautiful there too. Yeah, thank you. Let's hear one more. Love it. Sherry, you're up.
So it's probably an accumulation of over a couple of weeks. I had spent some time with my sister about a week ago because her husband had passed, and she needed, you know, I felt I needed to go help her, and I was able to offer some assistance. And then this last weekend, I went to the Lisa Sasevich Speak to Sell, her last weekend, and it was like, so much had shifted. It was, you know, building upon what I had been doing with my sister, and where, you know, I'm just made a slight adjustment in how I'm focusing on my niche, that it's basically the same niche, except I'm saying that I'm working with professional women who are in debt, and I work with them and support them to get out of debt, stay out of debt, and create a life that they love. And I mean, I actually said that in front of a room of 300 people is when it came out, and it just felt like my whole body aligned to it.
I love it. I love it. Beautifully said. It's landed. And you said it came from something of working with your sister, right?
Mm-hmm. It just really affirmed that so comes easily and natural. It's stuff that's been laying on the shop floor that I keep stepping over, and I kind of picked it up and just put it in.
Love it. That piece, though, things that are laying around on the floor from the high ticket virtual retreat and something of, again, everything that we've learned from the Letting Go series, just releasing of all that needing to find the answer. Like, you could have been sitting at home till you're blue in the face trying to figure out exactly how to word that. But instead, it's how, like, our company's related to how we're living our lives. I'm over here in service. As I'm over here in service with my family, the words pop out. And it doesn't come out of a vacuum. Related to all the work that you've been doing. Freaking awesome, Sherry. I love it. Okay. Anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? All right. Let me see. Wins. All right. I want to go to... goodness gracious, here it is. Okay. I was trying to decide what I was going to announce the... Yeah, let's go to, there were several questions that were posted last time, and I want to go there first, then we'll go to the training. So questions. One of them was, Michelle, please tell us about, it was just a reminder for me, please tell us about journaling. I mentioned it several weeks ago. It's been hanging for quite a while. It's like, what does journaling have to do with self-care? Remember the piece in Letting Go that was about deep, a really deep self-care that's fuel for our best lives. And usually I talk about this in the Letting Go series, but this is actually starting out the Loving Kindness series is a perfect place for it because, I mean, self-care could also belong in the Loving Kindness series, but I like it over there in Letting Go because we got to let go of all kind of preconceived notions to actually allow ourselves to take the time to take care of ourselves. And I like what Donna said about it. It was like, oh, this isn't just, you didn't call it just the extra stuff, or it isn't just icing on the cake, or it isn't just, but this is at the core of what we need to do as entrepreneurs. And so I want to give you one more tool. Both is a tool of self-discovery, is a tool of, and we need to know who we are because our companies emanate from us. It's a tool of allowing ourselves to align as Shavasana is. It's a tool that allows us to see our, all kinds of things about ourselves, what our core values are, what really matters to us. And it happens in a way that is kind of like what Sherry talked about. I was over here doing this and then this popped out. And that's, it's not just journaling, it's something called expressive writing. And I could teach this whole series on expressive writing. In fact, I have the healing word when I used to teach for people who were living with cancer and the people helping them. We went a deep dive into this, and we're going to get a 3-minute version here, probably maybe 5 minutes. Writing, I want to say, is both creative and healing. And we need to understand where the words come from. The whole of the call yesterday was about that as entrepreneurs. We write not just when we're physically writing, but we write in the air with our words. We write when we're speaking to somebody. It's like we're composing, putting our words together. So all of writing is crucial as entrepreneurs. And that writing needs to be both healing and creative. We're helping to do healing work, I guess you could say, in another when we're a lot, you know, allowing them the space to step into our work. We're helping something that is a pain inside them. So we want to understand that healing part of writing. And writing is also creative. So the most entrepreneurs who have done the most extraordinary work all have very creative minds. And Steve Jobs, it reminds me of that, you know, well-known, it's out on YouTube, so many millions of people have seen it. It's Blessed Are the Crazy Ones, you know, they're the innovators. So they're the ones who change the world. And he shows so many of those innovators. So, you know, if you feel crazy sometimes, well, great, you're in good company. And the creativity that's needed to build a company that sounds different from anybody else's, right? So, Steve Jobs, for instance, talked about his background in, he was taking a course in calligraphy. And people go like, well, that's not useful. Why did you do that? And how an Apple keyboard is laid out and all of that. And it's like one of the things that's its selling points is its beauty, its grace. It's not just its functionality. And so it's woven right into the success of that company. So writing is both healing and creative. And to me, they're like flip sides of the same coin. Mexico is deeply above that as we dive into that, those words. We find those different aspects of this is beyond what I could do in the call yesterday, for instance. Don't have the space to talk about this. So the writing is both healing and creative. And one kind of writing called expressive writing has been a study by, you know, James Pennebaker was a pioneer in this field. Many others who said, when we write in a particular way, it's profoundly healing. And us as entrepreneurs, for the people in the cancer journey, obvious why they wanted to do that. But for us as entrepreneurs to tap into that healing part of writing, we got to know what that is. Otherwise, how do we understand the pain of the person or what's going to make a difference in it and so on, right? So expressive writing has been found, it's writing in a very particular way, and it's been found to have huge physical effects, not just mental, emotional, spiritual, but physical effects on our bodies. It's an extreme self-care practice, and it's a practice of loving kindness. So the bridge from letting go to loving kindness to take some time to do this. And I just want to share with you, who was I sharing this with? Not that long ago, in a couple of minutes, I was sharing some of the physical profound effects of expressive writing. And they were like, I had no idea that words were this powerful. So I encourage you to take a few minutes through this this week and tap into this. And expressive writing is basically, it started out with writing about a trauma, but I have seen those healing effects beyond. I'm not an expressive writing expert. Those in the field define it very narrowly and have studied it in this way. But what it is like writing about something that happened, how it felt then and how it feels now. It's like very simple, but is different from just ruminating about it and just only going to the dark side. It's like, it's a deep investigation of how did it feel then? How did it feel now? And where I would add, where do I want to go from here? Right? That might not be an exact definition from the expressive writing people, but when we write in this way, they've done things like studies where people just wrote for 20 minutes a couple of times. And then these kinds of results happen. So a couple of 20-minute chunks. Can you find that in your day and in your life? And let me just share with you what this does. And again, I have taught, you know, hours and hours and hours on this. This is just a couple of minutes. So James Pennebaker talks about this in Writing to Heal. Physical effects of just this simple writing. It enhances immune function. Start to feel like you're getting sick, you can't work as an entrepreneur, it enhances immune function. And these are all by these people who study it, have control groups, and figure out what really does happen. These have been measured. Medical health markers, better lung function among asthma patients, lower pain and disease severity among arthritis sufferers, higher white blood cell counts among AIDS patients, less sleep disruption among patients with metastatic cancers, reduction in resting blood pressure levels. By writing a couple of times. physiological indicators of stress. Well, people writing or talking about trauma, like something hard happened, right? And we encounter this all the time when we're in strategy sessions. So how do we move through those moments to be able to do this kind of writing? It's beyond the scope of what I can do here. Just talking to you about this for a couple of minutes, but this is a really wonderful tool that I want to give you. While people are writing or talking about traumas, they often show immediate signs of reduced stress, lower muscle tension in their faces, drops in perspiration levels on their hands. Immediately after writing about emotional topics, people evidence lower blood pressure and heart rate levels. Physiological changes, right? Psychological effects, long-term mood changes. Expressive writing makes you sad for a brief time after doing it, that thing that happened. But the long-term effects are surely worth the momentary sadness. People report feeling happier and less negative than before writing. Reports of depressive symptoms, rumination, general anxiety tend to drop in the weeks and months after writing about emotional upheavals. This is a skill we need to hold space in strategy sessions. So you can look it up, tons of research on it. It's called expressive writing. Behavioral changes, performance at school or work. College students have been found to adjust better to their new worlds. Jasmine was asking a question about how do you do something that's in a new world and talk to people about it. This is a great entry wrote in. Higher grades in the semester following, they get higher grades in the semester following a writing study. I think these people, they were asked to write, it was either 2 or 3 or 4 20-minute sections, 20-minute segments, that's it. And then months later, they got better grades from 80 minutes. Maybe it was up to 80 minutes of writing. I can't remember the exact details now, but 80 minutes of writing, next semester, they get better grades. This may be due to the fact that emotional writing boosts working memory, our ability to think about complex tasks. We free up the mind from worries. We can deal with the more complicated issues in our lives. Dealing with your social life. Expressive writing can enhance the quality of people's social lives. As one study showed, these are all study-based, right? People who write expressively talk more with others. These are all qualities that entrepreneurs want, right? They talk more with others, laugh more easily and often. Who wants to be like the dour face in the networking meeting, right? Laugh more easily and often and use more words associated with positivity and positive emotions in the weeks afterwards. They write for a little bit, weeks afterwards, it's changed. Expressive writing makes people more socially comfortable, better listeners, better friends. It may also be a method to alleviate anger and even makes people more employable. They did a study, these, you know, some men who had really a lot of trouble, you know, with getting employed. And these guys did the things that you're supposed to do to get a job. These guys did expressive writing. These are the ones who got all the jobs. So I don't think in this community I've ever just, read this whole thing before and shared so much with you, but somebody that I just shared this with not that long, a few weeks ago, was so blown away by this. I wanted to give you this tool, both for our own well-being. This is a loving kindness series. How do we start with loving kindness from us? How do we come from that place of loving kindness instead of all those other emotions of raga, attachment, or pushing away stuff, whatever, right? And these are the exact qualities that we want to cultivate as entrepreneurs that allow for this state of grace. I love your name, right? This state of grace, I guess I want to say, that we're seeing in grace today. These are some of the components that can go in there that create a different strategy session, that create a different talk, that create a different world for us. So any questions or comments in and around this? Did you know this before? It's so powerful. Again, don't have time to talk about all of this, but anything that you want, any comments? Yeah, Grace.
I really appreciate you going through this long list because I've made notes of, oh, that's me. And I'm going, oh, these are these clients. I did a resume development workshop and we have 22 people last Thursday morning through our church. And I'm just thinking half men, half women, was evenly balanced. And I was just thinking of, you know, the writing and their ability. This is like, so one of the offerings I need to do is some type of a writing one where they just get to write about themselves and share. And that had actually been part of that workshop. I had them, well, just think about your favorite accomplishment. Where did you have the most fun? You were in the zone, whatever, write about it. And then I had them share it with a partner and the energy completely elevated. So I'm thinking, oh, it was probably due to this.
Yes, yes. And I will underline too, just so I'm true to the, double blind placebo control kind of people. It's about a very particular kind of writing they're talking about, but I've been working in this field for so many years. I've seen it with all kinds of writing. There are some ways sometimes if we just go, you know, man, if we ruminate in things, sometimes we can end up feeling worse. But sometimes I even have, this is a beyond the scope of this expressive writing. I have people write a revenge piece. And I think Marie's my poster, our poster person. Hi, Marie. I know you couldn't make it live today. Our poster person for writing, or, you know, I gave her that assignment many years ago. Please just go write a revenge piece. And the movement that happened in her life and her writing and her world was just amazing. And that's happened with many people. So, but these people, these indicators that what they've studied is this very particular kind of writing, but I've seen it in so many other kinds of writing as well. And this is part of what I would call the curriculum behind the curriculum in Mexico. There's a whole bunch of shifts and changes that happen in Mexico. This is part of why that's happening. All right. So anything else wanted to be said about this piece? I've been wanting to share with you for weeks, and I wanted to make enough of a space to actually talk about this here with you. Yeah, Sherry, go ahead.
Is what you read something you could post?
Oh, let me see. Yes, sure I can. In fact, what would be the best way to do this? I think what I would love to do is send this over to Emily and just have her create a handout. So can you, Sherry, because it's your question, will you just send Emily a quick note? Would you do that for me? Just say, Emily, Michelle wants you to brand some notes from James Pennebaker's Writing to Heal. And Michelle will give you the details. And then Sherry, will you keep me accountable that if that doesn't appear, it might take me a week or two. There's a lot of things going on. But if it doesn't appear, will you ask, just keep asking the question again until it appears? Thank you so much.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, Grace, go ahead.
Just I was typing up some notes. Can I just copy and paste my notes in the chat box for the time being?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure. Thank you for that. Love it.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. Anything else burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Okay. Let me see. I want to talk about the other two questions first before we get to the training. And but we are already deep into the training. This series is about loving kindness. I've already been dropping hints about why that is and how this connects with it. But the question, so Marie talked about, Marie's really excited about the idea of the triads at the end of the call. And she says, who else is excited about that? And can we do that so that when we end the call, whoever wants to stay and can stay can be broken up into groups of, if there's two people who stay, those two could be talking to each other. If everybody stays, we can break people up into rooms. And the call is essentially ended by the time, one of my teachers used to do this, and it can be really effective. So, and you get to stay as optional. Is that something, let's talk about this for 1 minute. Do you want us to do this? Do you want us to try this out? Would that be helpful to you? And what it would mean is, and I suggest that you do this anyway, carve out 2 hours every time we have a call, and then you can get onto a triad after about an hour and a half. Sometimes it might be an hour and three quarters, you know how it goes. If you don't want to do it, you just hang up, because maybe you've got your own ideas about how you want to implement what we're doing. Maybe you want to get on a call with somebody and dive into what we've been doing, or dive into your current business question. And those are all good things to do. So if Marie is the only one, it's like, no, I'm not going to stay, Michelle. We won't do this. If there's a lot of interest in doing this, we'll do it. It's not the only way to do it. You can get on the call, call yourself and call each other easily. And if you don't have each other's phone numbers, ask for them. You know, you can be texting with somebody. There's lots of ways we can do this. We don't have to do this, but I want to take the temperature of the community and see if this is something that you want us to try out for a little while, see how it works. If people aren't staying, we'll just cancel it. If there's no interest, we won't do it. Yeah, Grace is a thumbs up. Mary Kay is kind of, not really strong about it. If there's not a big desire, I'm not going to do this. Mary Kay is more of a thumbs up now. What else? Somebody talk to me. So I've seen two of you, Mary Kay and Grace. Carly's not so sure about it. So he had probably time is what I'm guessing. Yeah, Donna's not so sure about it. Sherry's not so sure about it either. I am hearing lukewarm about this. I'm not hearing a giant, yeah, I'm hearing mostly lukewarm. That is why I haven't instituted up until now. And I'm hearing 4 lukewarm and 2 strong. So we are not going to do this unless there's a more strong push in and around it. I'm not going to implement something that we probably won't use. But there was strong interest with Grace and Mary Kay. What I would suggest is, you don't need this technology to be able to do that, then try it out. And if it really works for you and you keep doing it, bring it back to the community. Like, be proactive and go ahead and lead in the community. It's great to be a leader. How you do anything is how you do everything. Be lead here in the community as well. If you keep meeting after, maybe it'll be Mary Kay and Grace on that. That's what I would do if I were you. You both were the ones interested. I would get in touch with each other after this call. Maybe you or others will do it for the next 4 weeks, and you'll be so blown away. You'll bring back to the community. We'll institute it. Sound good? I don't hear overwhelming desire about this. And I do more training here than having you talk to each other, because I figure you can do that on your own time. But, here's a place where you can get your questions answered, where we can connect with each other. You can connect with each other way more than we can connect with each other, because there's only one of me, there's lots of you. So Carly and Sherry could meet one time, and then Carly and Grace could meet, and then Grace and Mary Kay can meet, right? Lots more different possibilities. So so that's a no, right? Great. Ask your people what they want. They'll tell you. So sorry, Marie. It wasn't a strong vote for it, but I would suggest getting in touch with Grace and Mary Kay. And then, there's always another possibility at another time. So Jasmine, I want to go to Jasmine's question. And I'm going to actually read it. And she said, you can either do this here on the call this week. Let me see. Or next week. I was going to do it this week, because I really want to honor, if you have a question and you're not here, we can respond to it right here. But she said, either do it this week or next week, and I want to leave more room for the training. So hi, Jasmine. I know you're listening to this right afterwards. Ask me again next time. I have the question here, so let's dive in next time. And I'll just mentioned to you, so you guys can have it in the back of your mind. She said, did anyone's current endeavors seem like it was a big shift? And how do you talk to the people in your life? Not those closest in, but how do you explain the shift to them? I think it's a really great question too, because we're always growing and shifting and changing. I remember when I decided to do the PhD, and my mom, Lord bless her, she's really supportive of everything that I've done always. Last time I talked to her was last night. But she, when I said, I'm going to go do a PhD, she said, are you sure? Because she knew that's going to be a lot of work. People are like, you know, because we're doing new things. Then when I was leaving the academy, he's like, are you sure? Because <You know? laughs> this now looks really good. So how do you talk to people when we should be always growing and shifting and changing is a great question. So just leave that to you as a little bit of home play, and I'll open that out to the group next time. Okay, great question, Jasmine. So I have a little something that I want to share with you that didn't come from me. This is the opening of the Loving Kindness series. And this one is, the title of this call is simply Everything You Want Is, I don't always have a title these days, Everything You Want Is on the Other Side of Fear. Everything You Want Is on the Other Side of Fear. I had that on my fridge, a quote by Jack Canfield, but I'm sure that he's not the first one who said it. Right? And a picture of somebody leaping, you know, over a canyon. And I had it up on my fridge for a couple of years, I think. I would look at that often. And then I was trying to find the picture for you. I don't have the picture anymore. It's ingrained in my cells already, right? So, but I want to start in a different place than that. And this is a gift from Katie. And Katie is one of our alumni. She's still there in the Facebook form. And I think she's there as Catherine. You find her as Catherine Marie. And when we were doing the Love and Kindness series, she shared this with me, and I want to share it with you. And there's nothing you need to remember here. There's nothing you need to hang on to. Just let the words drop in like rain. What do you love here? What stays with you? I thought this is beautiful and totally in the energy of this whole series. And I'll just tell you, I love the words unconditional love, by the way. But this is so, I'm not dissing unconditional love, but this takes a different tack. This goes at it a different way. I use that word a lot. But here it is. Dear human, you've got it all wrong. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That's where you came from and where you'll return. You came here to learn personal love, universal love, messy love, sweaty love, crazy love, broken love, whole love, infused with divinity, lived through the grace of stumbling, demonstrated through the beauty of messing up often. You didn't come here to be perfect. You already are. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous, and then to rise again into remembering. But unconditional love? Stop telling that story. Love, in truth, doesn't need any other adjectives. It doesn't require modifiers. It doesn't require the condition of perfection. It only asks that you show up and do your best, that you stay present and feel fully, that you shine and fly and laugh and cry and hurt and heal and fall and get back up and play and work and live and die as you. It's enough. It's plenty. Courtney A. Walsh. Thank you, Katie. What did you hear? What stays with you? What did you love about what you heard in this piece, kicking off our Loving Kindness series well into our first call? Yeah, Grace.
I feel like I'm like taking up so much space.
Ah, there's your editor. Isn't that interesting? Notice that. I'm going to pause there just for a second. So not surprising, right? When you're having these huge leaps in your company and where everything is shifting, that means that it's required that you take up more space than you previously did on this planet. highly successful entrepreneurs take up a lot of space. And how interesting that right at this moment, there are no accents that you feel like you're taking up too much space. Anybody feeling like, yeah, Grace, I wish you wouldn't say anything. I was just about to say something. Man, she's talking again. Oh. There's something valuable and beautiful to share. You're contributing. There's a pause. You leapt in. Modeling that for others, and others know, don't let that go to your editor too. You maybe pause, you're thinking, you're considering, it's all good. Grace, thank you. This moment is maybe the most important for you from the whole call. You're taking up more space, good. How can you let yourself take up more space? And the whole of the Love and Kindness series is about that. Let me just say this one more thing too. Me at the center, me at the center. Because of what you said is so important. Me at the center. One of our alumni as well, she said, if you had to boil down all of the Love and Kindness series, Michelle, what would you say in one sentence? I said, it's me first. In the West, we got this idea that it's about other people and I got to go serve and I got to go. But if I haven't filled my cup up enough, how can I even dream of serving another? So, Grace, I hope you still remember what you're going to say. That was a beautiful thing that you triggered here. Triggered in a good way, I mean.
I did, actually. It's the very opening where she says, unconditional love. It's you came from unconditional love, mm-hmm. and you'll return there. Yet in between, while we're here, you know, love is messy, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be imperfect.
It's one of the reasons that I wanted to start with our debrief of the call yesterday, and I so love Sherry's comment of that. I saw you. This is messy. Love is messy. There's so much love in that call. I just so want people to get it. I don't have some of those people. I'll never see them again. I don't have the luxury of being on the deep dive with them, and I so want them to get it. And you can hear that can be raga attachments, like the near enemy of love and loving kindness. But I just got to let it go. Let it be messy. Just we all do, right? And let the love shine through that. If I need it to be picture perfect, it's just something. It's perfectionism. It's something other than the depth of the messiness of love on this planet. And our companies emanate from that. We don't often talk about that. So we touch it. Can seem touchy feely or something. But you know, I know that you all have the hearts and ears to hear this. Grace, I love that. Beautiful. What else did you hear in this given to our community from Katie by Courtney A. Walsh? She's like, Michelle, you need to read this, or not need to. thought you'd love this. Yeah, Carly.
Okay, I'm gonna try not to cry. But so I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and it kind of taps in a little bit into that house metaphor that I have of needing to look back on myself and in a more positive light and not be like angry at myself. Right. Mm-hmm. But something kind of enlightening that came from this conversation was that I'm still kind of very like stuck in a state of not feeling safe. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like, I hear like a cupboard slam and I like jump, you know, still like just takes me back to the abusive situation. Yeah. And so what I heard here, I thought was really beautiful, because it's like looking, helping myself to look back and know that that's okay. Yeah. That I went through that. And I loved the relation to the writing, because I do think that writing and artwork and things like that like do like help me change like the brain chemistry almost, mm-hmm. of the trauma repetition.
Yes, you got it. And thinking about that house metaphor, and just to remind you, for those who either only heard about it afterwards, or if you were in Mexico where Carly talked about this, and I hope I can repeat it again so people all remember, I feel like only the surface quick version so people can hear. I feel like a house that's going to, you know, like a tidal wave is going to get this one way to describe it, come through. And that's happened before. And I'm kind of waiting for that to happen again. It's like, oh my goodness. But if I envision myself as that house, it's just going to happen again. Can I instead imagine that I inhabited that house once before, but remember who that person was? And there's a revalorization of who that younger, beautiful woman was. And if we don't do that, this is right at the heart of this series. That person that I was awful. But now I must be a good person. What's my future self going to be saying about who I am now? And then all the dumping that's happening about ourselves and who we are. And then I'm going to try to offer something to somebody. I don't know how to get there from there. I don't know how to create an empowering story. So this series, Carly, it's designed for all of you, but it's designed for you in this. It's like the antidote to the house, this whole series. And when you said, I'm going to try not to cry, tears are fine, you know, and also if you don't worry that it's all good, you know, but the reason that the tears are welling up is because we're getting to a deep place of where the company actually comes from and our lives actually comes from. And so create a very different and solid foundation for our companies to create that empowering story, not just happy face and empty gas gauge or figuring out the structures or chasing leads or whatever it is, something very different happening here. Thank you for that. And I want to add this piece, because your comment allows me to connect the Loving Kindness series and the Letting Go series that we just came out of. So if we're not going to hang on to stuff and push stuff away, that's what most people are doing, and we find that heart of self-care and we start to listen differently, like we learn in the Loving Kindness series, then we start to allow new things to arise. So I'm not going to hang on to that stuff, and I make a space for abundance as well, right? And but if I just stop letting go of stuff, and I'm letting go of all the things I've been hanging on to, and I kind of create a vacuum. I mentioned this, I think, at the end of the Letting Go series, and I'm almost creating a vacuum because I'm not going to hang on to that wrong and that thing and that, you know, I've stopped doing this. Well, if I don't replace it with something else, the same old stuff is just going to come rushing in. If you understood what I just said, because it's crucial to this whole series, raise your hand. Thank you, Cindy. Yours went up like this, right? If you're not sure, just connect with somebody who's, and Donna's hand was tentatively up, but then heard. So I'm going to just take a little more time to process, but I hear you considering that, Donna, and contemplating that. So that's why we want to put something in the heart of it, in the center of it. And I'm going to give you a very special technique, a very special process. You talked about safety, and one that creates that sense of safety like nobody's business. Because if we don't feel safe as entrepreneurs, well, how are we going to take those risks, those we need to take leaps? And we were asking other people to take leaps. And so if we don't, if at some point we just feel so shaky and nothing safe, then how do we grow the company? And so a very specific and profound technique that I'm going to be teaching you next time we meet. I think that's, pretty sure that's next week, but always check your calendar. We made that one change to the calendar. Check your calendar. that is the antidote to that. It's the antidote to unsafety that transforms that. So it's going to be a, don't miss that call, right? We are going to do many, many other things, right, as well. So what's my come from place? And how do I, once I've let go of that stuff, how do I fill it up with something else? And to me, the best of companies, they just emanate from love. I was listening to was reading something that Richard Branson said the other day, and he was talking about how we need to take care of our, and he's, you know, built billions of dollars and you know, built a huge company. And one of the things he said is we need to create structures where our employees have lives and where they can work fewer hours. And you can hear I don't know much about Richard Branson, but when I was reading that, I'm like, of course. Giant company and strong companies all over the place. And that piece of what I heard, I don't know much about him, but that piece is so in alignment. It's emanating from love at a very deep level, and the structures are built on that. It's emanating from love, and it's emanating from spaciousness and a space to think. It's emanating from loving kindness. Otherwise, you know, we built on shaking structures. Thank you, Carly. Beautiful. What else? What else did you hear? Anything else wanting to be shared here in this beautiful piece? Yeah, Mary Kay, go ahead.
What I heard that really resonated with my work in Loving Presence is that just show up. Mm-hmm. That's like the first thing, just be there.
Mm-hmm.
That without trying to do anything is mm-hmm. really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of, yes, absolutely, super powerful. I know it's right embedded in your work, and huge transformation in our clients And or as a leap in a strategy session or on stage can come exactly from this. And I'm reminded of, and she's given me permission lots of times to share this story. Many years ago, I had students in this community climb, you've heard this story before, climb a rock wall, and then we climbed it blindfolded. and people had done that before, and everybody, like the openings that came from that, I haven't done that in years, like the openings that came from that were just astonishing. And I had people belay each other, so they had to be the one holding the ropes, and their lives depended on each other very directly, right? And I had one person was having so much trouble. Trish, she's having, again, she's let me share this story, so much trouble belaying, and she was so upset and so nervous, and she thought, yeah, Michelle's going to be pushing because you got to get done because everybody else is waiting. And I just, that's loving kindness. I didn't care if she got it or not. It didn't matter to me. Just stood there because it's love. No attachment. Didn't matter to me whether she did it or not. And she said, if you'd been anything other than that, I couldn't have done it. She actually did it. She shocked herself. She was able to belay, figure out the rope part that holds the person up there that keeps them safe. And then my immediate reaction, some of you have heard this before. I think I told the story just recently, but hear it in this context. My immediate response to that, as soon as she was ready, she was the last person ready in the group, I said, okay. They said, who wants to go first? I said, me, and I want Trish to belay. She's like, what? So Michelle's life is in my hands. I trust you guys with my life. And I mean that literally. I trusted her with my life. That happened from what you said, Mary Kay, just showing up, not attached to something. That was the best way that I knew how to love in that moment. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter whether you do it or not. It's just, you're amazing. I see your amazingness, and it makes no difference to me whether you take this next step or not. It sounds weird because I want our clients to push and do it and so on, right? And ourselves. But other pieces are needed for that to work. There's a kindness and a gentleness to another that can't happen. Letting go series comes before this if we don't give that to ourselves. We have a weird idea in Western culture that we can give that to others without giving it to ourselves. In my books, it's got to come from ourselves first, to ourselves first. Otherwise, we run out of stuff to give. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Anything else burning to be said without which we cannot go forward? Yeah, Sherry. Love what this is opening in us. And if any of you, I'm not detecting any editors like this, but if any of you are going, Michelle, why are we talking about this? I got practical stuff that I got to get done in my company. Why are we bothering with this? I'm not detecting any of that. But in case, this is the most practical thing that we could do in our companies that I know of. And if you're not sure how, just post that question for next time, and I'll make sure we cross the T's and dot the I's for you. Sherry, go ahead.
So in the 12-step community, there's a saying that says, let us love you until you can love yourself. And when people start their journey of recovering from whatever they're recovering, they are so filled with, just self-loathing that, the whole step of letting go cannot happen for them to get to the unconditional love without the support of the rest of the community. And I can really see how, this community is much like that. And the work that I do, how that really, I get to create an opening for others to step in. And it really does come from that unconditional love that, over time I've learned where I came from.
Mm, I love this, Sherry. I mean, I'm so glad that you brought up 12-step. I'm so glad that you brought up the work that's done at AA. And it's like, well, Michelle, this is what I'm trying to build a company. Why are you talking about this? Right? But here's the thing. It in that community, it's really self-evident with anyone with eyes to see the depth of the self-loathing. And my heart goes out to the people in those communities, and a family member right now struggling with exactly that and more, and heart just goes out, and my family deeply touched by that too. One branch of the family just destroyed, right, by that, by alcohol. Whole branch of my family, like some cousins, right? So you go, but we're trying to build a company here. Why are we talking about this, Michelle? But there you can see it writ large for those who have eyes to see. But I think this happens all the time with entrepreneurs, and it might not be writ as large. We might not be able to see it as much, but it's like, if there's even these two cells over here going like, I hate my stuff or what I'm doing, or, you know, and we think it's not there. I teach this stuff and I'm learning deeper and deeper levels of letting go of that and replacing it with something different than that. And as we do that, our companies naturally grow. If you heard that and understood that, and that makes, if you heard that, raise your hand. And if you understood why that moves your company forward, if that makes sense to you, even if you don't quite get it, but at some energetic level, you understand that that moves your company forward, raise your hand. The real answer. Yeah, okay, wow, all the hands raised. Great, fantastic. And Cheryl, I see you too, but I can't see if your hand is there. So but I'm going to take it from all the hands that I can see. All right. Three different ways that I want to go with this. There's my course outline, a plan for today, and then where we are in the conversation. So which place do I want to go to next? Give me 1 second. I wasn't going to share this with you today, but I think this is the place to go to. And I know I said that this is everything you want is on the other side of fear. I'm going to continue that theme into next week's call because you might not have seen the fear part of it so much yet. But I'm just going to follow up with where we are in the conversation because we have the possibility for something to deeply land right now, right? So I want to read to you something else. And this is from, I don't even know how to, I've been reading this poem for years and years. And it's Galway Kinnell, I think is how you say his name, Galway Kinnell. And it's from a poem called St. Francis and the Sow. And you don't need to know anything about poetry. Poetry is just like stuff that makes, some writing that makes us feel something. Put it good enough for now, right? It's just, it's nothing, it's like songs or poems. And if you don't feel any connection to poetry, well, think about songs that you love, right? In case there's any editors in around poetry or think this is for somebody else, it's like, it's not what we're taught at school, right? And you might even want to close your eyes for this one because I just want it to land right inside of us. Nothing special you need to hear. You'll hear this so easily. It's exactly what we've been talking about here. Galway Kinnell, Relearning Loveliness. And Relearning Loveliness is called, it's from St. Francis and the Sow. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. I'm going to read that again. Don't worry about making sense of the words. Just let the feelings drop in. Just let it resonate inside you because it says something really important for all entrepreneurs. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower, for everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it's lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. Want to hear what you heard from that part? I might read the rest of the poem too. I think you might like that. What did you hear in that? If you heard nothing, don't worry about it. There's nothing like that you have to get here or your company will die. It won't be written on your tombstone. I heard things in that or I didn't. Doesn't matter. But if you did hear, there's a resonance of something that can help us. Cindy, is that a hand or is that a thinking about raising your hand? Cindy, go.
It was actually both. That's a very deep poem.
Yeah.
Going back for this, I would really like to know where to find that.
St. Francis and the Sow is what it's called. Galway, Galway, Kinnell. Kinnell. Google it.
Yeah. It was beautiful. And it speaks very, very deeply to the work that I do.
Mm. Tell us how so we can hear what you're saying. Why is this beautiful to you?
Because a lot of the people that I work with, myself included, forgot how lovely they were. And what I do is help them to re-realize that. And re-identify that within themselves so that they can start blooming again from the inside.
It's what we want to do. Whatever variation you have in your company, you're probably doing something of that. Whether it's Carly with spaces. Can you hear that, Carly? Right? Or Mary Kay with horses. This is in different areas. But something of that is what we don't always name as entrepreneurs, but here with words and stories is part of what we're doing. If we're not doing it, then there's probably something missing. I'm going to say it that strongly. Might not be how we frame it, might not be how we look at it, but there's something of that for ourselves and for what we're doing for our clients. It's what happens in a strategy session. Can you hear it? Did that happen to you in our strategy session? That, oh, that's possible. Oh, I can do that. Oh, I'd forgotten. Oh, this is what I could reach for. Oh, I could use some help. Let's do that together. Mary Kay, you're smiling. So you remember that energetically, that's true. Long conversation, but that's what happened, right? Yeah. So I think I want to read, I want to read the rest of it. This is really lovely. And this talks of the work that we would do with others, and it starts with ourselves. So there was a different piece. There were a couple of other things. I wasn't going to read either of these to you today. I was going to read you two other things, but I will start with them next time because they're highly instructive and they come in from a very different angle. And they will continue that discussion of, are we coming from love or fear? And how do we even do that? Because we might be coming from not that place of love and kindness for self. It's like in the envisioning, Carly envisioning herself as that house, it's not coming from a place of love and kindness for herself, even though she didn't mean to. Does that make sense to you, Carly? Yes. So we don't know. That's the trick. We don't know when and how we're doing it or how to change it. But what we're doing today and next time, we'll directly address that. All right. So the last, I'm going to read you that first part again, because good poems, when we read them again, we hear more and more and more in them. And I'm going to read right to the end. And really, honestly, this is my editor. I didn't read it very well because I haven't read this. You know, wouldn't it be nice if I practiced it? It was messy. It wasn't pretty. I wasn't planning to read this to you today. I had it nearby me, but I'm like, nope, not that one. That's for another time or maybe never. And it's okay. You do small things with great love and let it be messy, just like the piece that I read you from Courtney A. Walsh, courtesy of Katie. St. Francis and the Sow by Galloway Kinnell. And you can close your eyes if you want. You can always, you know, if you want to take notes, you can do it with the recording afterwards. You don't have to, there's nothing you need to hang on to here. Remember, raga attachments, let it go. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it's lovely, until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch blessings of earth on the sow, and the sow began remembering all down her thick length from the earth and snout all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine down through the great broken heart to the sheer blue milk and dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths, sucking and blowing beneath them the long, perfect loveliness of the sow. Slowly open your eyes. Nothing you need to hang on to there. You didn't need to make anything of it. You didn't need to hear every word. That'd be raga attachment. But what did you love? Here's a sow and it's beautiful, right? What did you take from this part before we close up this call? Again, the discussion to be continued next week. We had the perfect place for this to land, of the depth of possibility of loving kindness is deeper than what we usually imagine every day in our songs about love or whatever it is. What did you hear in this description of the loving kindness toward this sow? I haven't even defined loving kindness yet, but what'd you hear? Could be anything, a snippet that you remember, but you don't even know why. A feeling that you had and you're not sure how it arose. Don't think that you have to have it all figured out. What'd you hear? Yeah, Grace. Grace owning, putting her hand up and speaking, right?
So this second part matching the first part, what I heard with the first part was everything buds from within, from our own self-blessing. And then the second part, it was, I think you said milk flowing from the 16 tits of the sow. And it was like, when we take that time to bless ourselves inside, we have more of an outflowing and abundance and an outflowing of giving.
I've got like shivers running through me. When I hear a deep truth, I just feel it through all through my body. We want to serve in our companies. Here's what's needed. This series is called the Allow Series, Abundance, Letting Go, Love and Kindness, two more to come in 2019. And the L of Love and Kindness is right at the center. This is at the center of our companies. If we want to serve, then in order to grow a company, that's what we do. We serve. You guys all know that so well. If we're going to be able to serve, here's what's needed. Deep loving kindness for self. Yeah. And sometimes taught by others and deep in community. I love that that's been brought out here in our discussion as well. Thank you, Grace. Love it. Let's hear one more aha. What did you hear? I was not planning to read this to you today, but this is how the discussion was going. We had a chance for this to land in our bones. Carly.
The part about going through the sow's, you know, body and having that sort of grounding reminded me of Shavasana.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good notice. Oh my goodness, it's a nice subtle notice. It's detailed, isn't it? It's all the pieces of the body and in this case, assisted by another, waking up or noticing all those pieces and how all of them are lovely. So it's both the, in Shavasana, we do that. How do we pay attention to all the pieces and let them be an integrated whole of loveliness? I've never described Shavasana ever in my life that way before, but you putting those two together, that's a perfect description. I love that. Out of context, people would go, what? But I know you have ears to hear. And yes, thank you. Beautiful. Yes. And I want you to notice, yeah, go ahead. Not me, you. Sherry, was that a hand? Yeah, go. Let's hear it from you.
The words that were used had such a transformative power. Just the way, I mean, hearing the word sow, I had an image which was completely transformed through the words that were read. Mm-hmm. It went from something that was there and maybe sometimes funny looking, mm-hmm. but with the love in the words became something of beauty.
Mm-hmm. The love and the words became something of beauty. And we learned the details of how exactly that happens in Mexico, for instance, right? In Mexico, all the details and all the concreteness and the senses and all that stuff that we've, you know, that's one of many things that we learned in Mexico, like how the words work to describe that and actually feel that. And we'll learn it from a different angle as we come up to practical applications. This is another entry road into words. But I loved that you heard that. And if we can we can have words that allow that sow to be transformed. We think it's funny looking. We think it's rolling in the mud or whatever it is. Transform that into beauty, into loveliness, into something new. When we can actually hear and understand what's happening there, what if we could do it for that amazing person inside of us and in front of us in a strategy session or on an audience, because that is what we're all looking for, to remember that thing that we have forgotten. And we just do it through our own particular modality. But to me, that's always what we're looking for. If you heard those words, thank you, Sherry, for that. If you heard that, that made sense to you, raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. This is like the deeper dive. And, you know, yesterday's call, we don't have the bandwidth to go here, but the way we're going with the words and the loving kindness, and like yesterday is like, here's the leg up yoga move of what we're talking about. We were talking about yesterday on the call. It's time. We're going to close up this call. We're going to talk more about that love and fear, because we didn't get there completely. If that hasn't landed in you yet, don't worry. So we'll do a deep dive next time. And I want to go back to Carly's like, yeah, but sometimes I don't even feel safe. Well, how do we do that? And loving kindness is the antidote to that unsafety. I want to underline that again. And how then do we actually do that? And how do we, you know, if there are these pieces in this and we don't even know that it's pulling in that opposite direction, what are we supposed to do? Well, what do we actually do to allow this to happen for us and for our people and for our companies? That's next week. So super excited about where we're going for next week. Today, one aha, one inspired action. I know that you're hearing this. I think the deepest level we've ever gone to in this opening call in the Loving Kindness series. And that's like, thank you to you, because you are hearing at such an extraordinary level. We get to go deeper. Freaking awesome. Cindy, you're up first. You're up in my left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action to take this out into the world.
I had lots of ahas. It's hard to pick just one today. But the expressive writing, I think that one is really, really important for me right now. And my action step is going to be to order the book.
Yeah. I can't think of anything better, Cindy. And again, I would love to be able to spend 3 days with each of you to talk about the depths of this, but let me at least touch this for you. This can transform everything for us. Thank you for picking that up. Thank you. Carly.
Still digesting a lot of this.
So recently, it's a year-long journey too, right?
Yeah. I think just the how important it is to have that love inside for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, it makes me just think about, you know, wanting to teach my kids the ability to do that. And you know, something I definitely like need to work on. And so I guess my action step with that, because I do think that it helps me get there mentally, is I'm going to start doing some more drawing. And I've had an idea for a piece that I've wanted to do for a while. And so I'm going to start it.
I love that. And so love that. And I want us to notice too, can I just push there just for a second, Carly? This is something I need to work on. It gets in. Can you hear that? There's an edge of not loving kindness there for oneself. It happens in this, in the tiniest of ways, and it's fine that it's there. It's there for all of us. It's like, how can I get to another iteration, another level of this, another level of this? So it sneaks in, and I wanted to underline that, because we don't always know where it's sneaking in. It sneaks in. And it's not replacing this word with that. We can start to notice the trigger marks, the markers in the way we speak, but don't let that make you self-conscious. The words are going to reveal it, and then we can transform it, and next week is the how. Is that making sense? When I'm saying it's coming in more subtle ways than we know, it's there. And I love what you said about your kids. Yes, yes. Then we grow the company, and then our companies and taking care of the people around us become aligned, not at opposite ends. And that alone is worth this entire call, if y'all heard that, because I know y'all taking care of people in your lives. Thank you. Grace, you're up.
Oh, wow. I think I've shared a lot of my ahas today. I think that it's that sense of unconditional love that we come from, we'll return to. We already have that within it for ourselves. And if we allow that to bud from our own self-blessing, then we have more of an abundance to flow to other people.
And who does? I love what you said. And,
I do.
And,
I do.
Yeah. Will you say that again? With I?
Yes.
Doesn't have to be the exact words, just the idea.
So the idea is that I have come from unconditional love. I will return to unconditional love. I am unconditional love. It's within me. And when I bless myself with that unconditional love, when I acknowledge that unconditional love, then what I have to offer simply flows out.
And you hear how that changes what she just said? It's so deep, right? It's beautiful. Thank you. What's your inspired action, Grace?
Meet with Mary Kay 15 minutes after this call.
I love it. Beautiful.
And, yes. and hear what her takeaways are from this.
Love it. And that can be done anytime, always. You don't need a different technology to be able to do that. Thank you for that. Love it. Mary Kay, you're up.
Well, I was thinking about the self-blessing, and I was in this moment blessing myself, but then I realized I could only get to about 85%.
And the idea that you can tell that itself is a deep strength and honesty in the yoga tradition, satya, truthfulness. I love that. Wonderful.
My inspired action is I'm going to show up for my granddaughter this afternoon, and I'm going to explore taking up a different type of space with my family.
I love how all this is connected, the space part from what we were talking about with Grace. Love it. Yes. Thank you. And how it's all connected, right? What we're doing over there, direct effect on our companies. So much more fun when we realize that. Yeah. Sherry, you're up.
I think the aha for me was how words can transform you, can transform a situation. And what I got from that, and it leads into my inspired action.
Just before you do, if you listen to yesterday's call again, what I was saying about approaching from a very different angle, Michel Foucault and discourse, that's what that's about. And if you put those two together, you'll hear something even deeper in that. All right. So can't repeat that. Here you go. Back to the call. But the way that the words transform, put those two pieces together. Thank you, Sherry. And your inspired action?
That it occurred to me that one of the transformations of the work I do is that I help people really change their lives from self-loathing to self-love. And that I'm working on my signature talk and that I need to find the words to express that.
Yes. And here's the thing. They won't know that. I'm just going to want to give just one little word of caution, and I love it. That's what's inside the party. That's what's actually happening. Then you got to decorate the door. There's going to be other words because they'll go, no, I don't. That's not true. That's why I don't decorate the door with this stuff. People, I already know that. A lot of false closure. So, and you can post a question around that if you want my help and the help of others to find that language, because we can't always tell people directly because they won't think that they need that. But
right.
You're hang on to something that's really important. And did you give was that your inspired action to work on those words? Did I get that right?
Well, it's, you know, working that thought into my signature talk, which I am working on now.
Yeah. Ask me questions about it. And you post questions in the Facebook forum too. You're not going to want to say it directly, but if it's woven in, there's nowhere in there that says a sow didn't love itself before, but we kind of, you know, or I did, you know, but it's not said directly, but it's shown so beautifully that it draws us in. So make sure you ask some questions about that. You're onto something strong, but don't say it directly. Just some little bit of coaching there to help you out. Thank you. Beautiful, Sherry. Love that. Donna, are you still in a place where you can speak?
I am. Sorry, the wind is wreaking havoc, apparently, with the video again.
No worries. One aha, one inspired action.
I've been journaling for probably about 2 weeks of kind of experimenting in it, and I realize I'm kind of diarizing what my day was like the day before, which means I'm not really doing expressive writing. I'm really not kind of talking to me as if this is a conversation I want to have with myself.
Oh, nice notice.
And so that's my aha, and my plan of action is to I didn't journal this morning. I kind of hit the floor running and I realized that that's what I'll do now. And today's entry will have a different flavor.
I love it. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Donna. Thank you all. I loved this call. We've gone, I would say this is our best dive ever, best opening ever in Loving Kindness Series. And we've done some phenomenal work before. So kudos to you. That's a real celebration of who you are and what you are bringing to this call, which tells me what you're bringing out there in the world. It's really freaking beautiful. So thank you so much. Just a reminder about the, we're still showing up on June the, what was that day? June the 18th, but for a different purpose, for Q&A, June the 24th, 2 p.m. Mountain Time. Remember to get that on your calendar. And also our next call in this series, I believe we've got calls all through this month at this time. On my calendar, we do. We've got, oh, we've got two calls actually on the 13th. Let me mention that. There's the encore call tomorrow at 11:30 Mountain Time if you want to join us. And then there's the, on the 13th, almost forgot to tell you, there's going to be a Q&A call. I don't even know if we've released that yet, but a Q&A call at 3 p.m. Mountain Time where people can come and ask whatever they want. So you can add those. It's not part of your program, but you're welcome to join us. You're going to need to, it'll be in your inbox because you're on my email list. So those are other places. So there's two calls next week. So last chance to have an affiliate, to work as an affiliate. You can join. Have somebody join us for tomorrow. Have a fantastic day, everybody. I will see you, I hope, twice next week and maybe for a private, maybe in between. Keep posting the Facebook forum. I love what I'm seeing over there. Have a wonderful day. Keep supporting each other. It's so beautiful to watch the openings that are happening. Have a fantastic week, everybody. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.